Welcome to the Jack and John podcast.
I'm Jack.
And I'm John.
And we're on a mission
to help you focus on Christ. You know, Jack, I love just bouncing questions back and forth. And one of the things that has kind of been on my mind is what's heaven going to be like? And what are we going to look forward to about that? So give me that verse you were reading.
Well, there's a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and it says, "It is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear heard, not the heart of man has even imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him."
Yeah.
And I think that that probably speaks a lot about the joy and the peace and the goodness and the glory that mankind will be in. You know, that's going to be where we dwell, where we live. Not necessarily the physical mansion, you know, or the street of gold or those kind of things, but just the glorious place that we will be. And, you know, I mean, you know, you can think about all different kinds of things. I mean, of course, you know, I'd have to start with the physical, with the spiritual aspect of being in the presence of God. I think just being in the presence of God, around the throne of God, and being a part of the explanation of the throne of God in Revelation chapters 4 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of like this, you know, the sounds. It's going to be like the sounds of thunder and rushing waters, mighty rushing waters. There's going to be a sound to it. There's going to be a sight to it. There's going to be walls made of all these different kinds of metals and gems and beautiful, clear crystal things that light will shine through and refract off of. And it'll be colors that we've never imagined before, because some of the materials that are mentioned there aren't known materials. So we don't even know what they are because we've never seen them. No one's ever seen transparent gold, but the streets of heaven are going to be transparent gold, not just gold like we know it. So it's going to be so far above and beyond anything that we've ever seen. So just the view of coming into heaven and seeing the colors and the light and sensing the glory and the joy, the presence of God, the presence of other people, happiness, laughter, the sound of singing, around the throne of God, the crystal sea that is out in front of him, the sounds of an angelic choir with myriads of angels, 12 elders surrounding the throne of God, casting their crowns down before him, people singing with the angels, falling down on their faces. You know, just try to describe that and just see the glory of coming into that. It's going to be just amazing.
I think it's going to be really good that we are in our immortal, indestructible bodies, because I would die of a heart attack.
Yeah, you wouldn't take it. You wouldn't be able to take it.
Yeah. You know, it's not a mystery that the ancients believed that you couldn't look on God and live, because I don't think that I could handle that kind of experience, even anything remotely close to it, with the current heart that I have. I think that it would be a heart stopper for me.
So you're going to see the cherubim, the seraphim. We're going to see these little creatures that have six wings, and with two they fly, and with two they cover their faces, with two they cover their bodies, and they're singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." If you don't like the songs of today where there's a repetitive over and over, you're not going to like heaven, because there's going to be a lot of repetitive singing about who Christ is,
right,
and his holiness and his eternity. And it's just going to be phenomenal.
I don't picture the cherubim and seraphim as being little creatures,
though. You know, big creatures, big wings.
I think they're going to be very impressive. Well, I mean, think about it. You know, comparing them to what you would read in ancient literature, they are the throne guardians. Okay, and so when a king had a throne, the guardians weren't the small guys, you know.
Oh, I just thought of something.
Yeah, okay.
So in that first century or even before, when they would have athletic games, like an Olympics, the winner of the Olympic game, he would get the place in front of the king to stand and guard the king. The winner, the most athletic, the best athlete, the best soldier in the nation gets the place in front of the king to guard him.
Yeah, it's the best of the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not the cute little cherubs that you see in a figurine store or something. No, these guys are intimidating. And they're singing to each other. They're crying, calling out to
holy,
each other.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God.
Oh, yeah. You know, the point of us talking about this, it's not to give you a picture of heaven or what it's going to be like or anything like that. It's really more to get those creative juices going. Because I think for us to imagine it is very healthy for a lot of reasons, but mostly because you can imagine as hard and heavy as you want. Paul is telling you right here, beyond all we could ever ask or imagine. That's what God's got prepared for us. And so to me, it's sort of like God saying, hey, here's a challenge for you.
Yeah.
I'm making something for you that's beyond your imagination.
Yeah. And it's, you know, you think about just a normal old dinner, the wedding supper of the Lamb, you know, wedding supper.
Oh, yeah,
it's
forget
gonna be
about
so
that.
Forget about that.
Forget
That's going to be so much far and beyond that.
So that brings me to, you know, Jesus in his earthly ministry, his first miracle. Everybody knows his first miracle that's recorded, right? It's in
turning water into
water. Right, in Canaan, okay? Now, I don't know how big that town would have been back then, but, you know, I'm not imagining it being a metropolis by any means.
You can still go through Cana of Galilee today.
Yeah.
It's a rather small town, and there were all small towns there because of the countryside. It's kind of hilly.
Well, and you could imagine probably a few hundred
would have
been there.
Sure.
Okay. So you're talking about a wedding feast, and sometimes those went on, you know, for quite some time, maybe even days sometimes. And it's not like they didn't have enough wine. Okay. It's that they ran out of wine. Okay. Now, I've never been to a wedding where they ran out of wine. But I've also never been to a wedding where they had more than
one day of celebration.
Well, or where they've had more than, say, let's just say 50 bottles of wine or 100 bottles of wine. When it describes the jars, and these are not jars like we think of jars. These are like massive jugs, because it said each one held 20 to 30 gallons, okay? So when Jesus has them fill them, and then he turns that water into wine, I mean, you can do the math. The conservative estimate is that he just made 600 bottles of wine.
That's pretty prolific.
600 bottles of wine. That's the low end estimate if they were only 20 gallon jugs, because it says 20 to 30 gallons. So the low end estimate is that he brought 60 or 600 bottles of wine to the party. Now, I've gone to a party and taken a bottle of wine before. I've never taken 6 bottles of wine. I've certainly never taken 600 bottles of wine. Now, why am I telling you that? Because, Jack, when we get to heaven and we're celebrating the marriage feast of the Lamb,
you're saying 600 bottles of wine won't even come
not
close
even close, to not even close.
Well, just that we're going to be there,
right?
Be part of it. Once again, let's get back to grandson.
Yeah.
Grandson's got friends. He's got 3 or 4 friends that are always around. I love these guys. They call me Kenobi.
Kenobi? Well, yeah, you know, I can see that.
You know why? Yeah.
Hey, say hello there.
Hello there.
Oh, see?
Yeah, Obi-Wan.
I totally see that. We got to get you some robes, you know?
So the other day, one of them calls my daughter, and he says, have you eaten yet? No, we haven't eaten yet. Oh, okay. Well, I'm coming home. Okay. Well, I'll be home pretty soon. Okay. You know, well, what's he What's he saying?
Yeah.
He said, I want place at the table and I'm hungry.
That's right.
And so that's kind of us, you know.
That
it's like, yeah, we're going into heaven. Hey, Lord, I'm have you eaten yet? I'm coming. Give me a place at that table, right?
Yeah. So, Jack, what do you look forward to the most about heaven? You know, of course, we have no idea, but just thinking about it.
I think the relationships. First of all, the relationship with Christ that will be consummated.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to come complete to where we will see Him. See Him as He is. And that's kind of an amazing thought. We will see others that are there and the joy that will be a part of all of those relationships kind of coming together. And I think of an emotional time of joy, you know, an overwhelming kind of joy that just hits you right in your emotions where it's almost too much. One of my favorite movies is Facing the Giants. It's a Christian-oriented movie, not new anymore, but it's a pretty good movie. And the coach, kind of pitiful coach in the beginning, he doesn't win. And he comes on a plan of how to get a winning season. And what it is he tells his players, we're going to do our best for God. We're not going to try to win. We're going to do our best for God. And in doing their best for God, they win. And so he gets a truck given to him by one of the fathers of one of the boys. He wins the championship, the state championship. And he's so full. It's like, you know, he's so full. And then he gets home. One of the things in the movie is his wife can't have any children. But when he gets home, he finds out she's going to have a baby. And he is sitting there crying, hand on his head, rubbing his head. And he says, I'm overwhelmed. And that's what I think. Mm-hmm. When you come into heaven, it's just going to be one overwhelming moment. And how long is it going to take for us to get over that? Just the overwhelming fact of where we are and what we're experiencing and whose presence we're experiencing and that we're in. It's going to be overwhelming. And we're going to have a new body just to be able to receive that overwhelming mass of feeling and emotion, and I don't know what words can you say to describe that.
Yeah, I love the song I Can Only Imagine, because it's so true. I mean, you can only imagine, and we're not going to get it right. But you know what? I think it's a beautiful thing to dream, and I think we should dream. Because one of the things, you know, we talk about this a lot, about the ugliness in this world and the unkindness and the bitterness and just hate. And it's really important for us to think above that. You know, Paul says, set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And why is he seated? Because his work's already done.
Yes.
His work is already done. He's just waiting patiently. You know, we've talked about this before. You know, why do all these bad things happen? Part of the reason why bad things happen is because God is withholding his wrath. Mm-hmm. He's angry about the bad things that are happening. You know, when there's a shooting, when there's genocide, when there's crimes against humanity, when there's all of these things, when there's people abusing their children, God hates and despises those things. Mm-hmm. But in his patience and in his mercy, he's giving us time.
Sure.
So that we can seek his face and repent of our wickedness and come to him. And so, yeah, those things are happening, and he's allowing them. Why? Because of his mercy and his patience. But you know what? There's going to be a time where there's a reckoning and God is going to pour out his wrath. And what's going to save us isn't because we're so great. You know,
well, I want to go back to being in heaven, being in that place, and making sure that you say everything you want to say, or make sure you say everything to everybody wants to say. Maybe let's bring that possibly in. I walk into the restaurant the other day, and my little granddaughter did not get up from her chair and come over and hug her grandpa. First time that I'd ever come to see them. And she didn't run over to hug me. And so I made mention of it. I sat down and I looked at her and said, Harper, you didn't hug Grandpa. You know, and I just kind of messed with her. And she went, well, I was doing this and I was, you know, she's, and I said, oh, that's okay. That's okay. So when went through the meal, got up, we were walking out. And of course, all you're walking past all the people that are waiting for the table. And she comes running up behind me and come around and just runs into me and gives me this big hug. And this woman is sitting there. And I caught the woman's eye as she did that. And as she went and smiled, this big smile, and I looked at the lady and said, this is my granddaughter. She didn't hug me when I came in. She owed me that hug. And she just laughed. And, you know, so those relationships.
Right.
Being reunited with those relationships and then seeing that person and then saying, oh, I was over here paying attention to the 12 elders or the mighty cherubim and seraphim or the angelic choir. I'm sorry, I didn't say hi to you. Oh, that's okay. But run into someone and have a kind of reuniting of relationship. I think heaven's going to be a grand place.
You know, we always talk about there's no tears in heaven. And I think, you know, once we're established,
well, the Bible says there, God, he's going to wipe the tears from your eyes.
Right. Yeah, because I think once we're up there after, you know, the tears will be gone, but they're going to be there. Mm-hmm. And I always wonder, okay, what's the deal with the tears? Is it because we're overwhelmed? Is it because we don't see somebody we expected to see? Is it because
somebody's not there? That
Is it because when I look at Jesus full in his wonderful grace, you know, that song and the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. If I'm looking at Jesus, I think part of it is at that point I have to really see all of the ugliness in my life. And all the things that in that moment that I will say, why couldn't I have let that go? Why couldn't I have been kind to that person who wasn't kind to me? Why? And I don't know, but I do think part of it is all of the emotions are going to come together.
Yeah, that's what,
all of them. And he's going to wipe away every tear, because once we get past that introduction, there's not going to be any room for tears. There's not going to be any room for sadness, bitterness, hate, passwords, locks on the doors, firewalls, you know. The other thing about the city of Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem, it talks about the gates of pearl.
Big pearls, one big pearl each.
Doesn't talk about them ever being closed.
That's true.
Yeah. So, you know, those are there because it's a city, not because it needs fortified, not because it needs protection. You know, we talked about the cherubim and the seraphim, and it's like, okay, does God really need throne guardians? I mean, what are they protecting him from? Or are they protecting him?
I'd like to see the oysters that those pearls came out of.
No kidding.
Those would be two big oysters.
So, we could go on and on about this stuff, on and on. But yeah, relationships, that's going to be the big thing. And of course, some of that's just going to be reuniting with those that have gone on before. I think part of it, too, is going to be meeting people that we've never met and meeting people across the span of time. Yeah. And generations and nations and languages.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
You know, are you going to know the languages? Or are you going to have to learn them?
I think you'll know. I think the Bible says that, you know, what we see through a mirror darkly, we don't know now. There are things mm-hmm. that we don't, but then we will know, and we will just know. So, you know, people thinking, I never thought this way, and it's okay if you do think this way, by the way. I'm not saying it's wrong. But someone says, well, what's the first question you would ask Jesus? Or when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God this. And my statement is, no, you're not. You're going to know. So if you know, you don't have to worry about remembering somebody's name. That would be like, oh, my goodness, am I going to remember everybody's name in all the churches that I served? You know, they have their feelings hurt in heaven. I don't want them to have. No, you'll know.
And I don't know this either, but but what I think that means is that we'll have a perfect spiritual understanding. Mm-hmm. There won't be any more mystery of God, mm-hmm. you know. There's not going to be any more secrets in that sense. I think that we are going to fully be invested mm-hmm. with the Holy Spirit, okay?
And we will have open doors, no locks on.
Right. So we're going to know, but I don't think we're going to know, like, details about other things necessarily, like that person we meet that maybe he was one of the disciples that was never mentioned in the scripture. He didn't become an apostle. You know, he's one of the guys that's on the fringe, and he sees Jairus's daughter alive, and then he becomes a follower of Jesus. Folks like that I don't think we're going to know like all the details of them. I think that we're going to see them and maybe know something about them, but we're going to be able to talk to them and learn some things.
So basically, I'm going to be smarter in heaven than you.
If you know everything, you for sure be smarter than me. But I think there's going to be things to learn and do and grow and so many things.
So many things. Yeah, infinite. Sure.
So anyway, guys, get your creative juices going. You know, chew on this. Read those chapters in Revelation 4 and 5 and read the end of the book, you know, and just chew on that and ask God to speak to you through it, because He has given us more than we can ask or imagine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I feel that closeness to Him now, I can't even imagine that's going
to
feel like.
A couple of things I would like to kind of dissipate, not to think of this. We used to sing songs like, just give me a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just a lot of people, you know, and there is a scripture that says that some people, you know, get by the skin of their teeth, so to speak. But I think that when we get into heaven, you know, all of those negative thoughts, you know, bad feelings and those kind of things, those things are going to be done away with.
So and the material things aren't going to matter.
Right, right.
You know, our treasures in heaven aren't going to be, I'm going to have a bigger pile of wealth than somebody else.
Yeah, it's not like
that's nonsense. Yeah. No, your treasures in heaven are going to be the people, the lives that are there. You know, when you invest yourself in others and that person or their great, great, great grandchildren, centuries, decades from now, become Christian, those are going to be your treasures. You know, those are the treasures in heaven.
Yep. Yeah. I agree. We agree.
There you go. Wow. A lot to think on. Guys, thank you so much for enduring us and spending time with us. We love you, and we just love this banter and asking each other these questions and going over stuff. And I would look at this as just kind of a dream session, you know. We just want to dream about what heaven's going to be like.
Getting closer every day.
That's right.
That's right.
Right. Well, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.